Grace and peace to you from the one who was and who is to come. Amen. Years ago, many years ago, Lee and I saw a movie called Music of the Heart. It's about a musician who teaches violin in three inner city schools in East Harlem. It's a wonderful movie, and Meryl Streep is great as the teacher Roberta Gaspari. When lack of funds in the school district threatens the program, a group of parents gather to figure out how to save it. Now, I won't give too much away because I do recommend the movie, even though it's an older one. But the story ends with a benefit concert featuring many of Roberta's current and former students. The group on the stage includes children and adults from many races and cultures, male and female, some physically disabled, and all are playing together in harmony and creating beautiful music. And I thought as I watched, that is an image of the kingdom of God. The vision in Revelation of the end times includes just such a picture. After this, I looked, John writes, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This is the communion of saints that we say we believe in every time we say the creed. The gathered body of Christ, dressed in their white baptismal robes, purified by Jesus the Lamb. This is the reign of God, revealed in its final and glorious state, what the First Nations version calls the good road from above. It is a vision of victory, the end of suffering and pain and misunderstanding and injustice. It is a vision of all the saints, all believers from all times and places, gathered in the presence of the Lord whom they love. Maybe some of you have read Kathleen Norris. She's a writer with a skeptic's faith and a poet's ability to put ideas into images. In her book, Amazing Grace, she shares this joyful and maybe challenging vision of heaven. I once had a dream of being seated at a long banquet table, so long that I could not see the end of it. I am a dedicated bread baker, and I recall noticing that the quality of the bread was excellent. I was also pleased to recognize some of the people in the crowd. Emily Dickinson seated next to St. Therese of Lisieux. Soren Kierkegaard seated across from them. I longed to hear their conversation. My grandparents were there, my aunts and uncles, my mother and father, family, friends, and strangers, a whole raft of Dalai Lamas, including the current one, his immediate predecessors, and a few infant Lamas to be. Seated not far from them was a good friend, a Benedictine monk. He was grousing about having to wear his habit for all eternity. There was much lively conversation, but it all sounded like song, and it was profoundly joyful. Not much happened, as I recall, but I woke with a sense of wonder and grace at it all. The revelation of John, the dream of a poet, give us a vision of eternity with God, the final fulfillment of the reign of God. It is a vision offered to give us hope, and it may fill us with longing. It also gives us something to strive for in our earthly walk on the good road from above, a community which is fully inclusive of difference, which is fully focused on the gratitude and praise of God. The teaching from Jesus in the gospel lesson gives us a different but complementary view of the good road from above. This one is not so triumphant because it is a vision not of the end times when everything is gathered together in God's presence, but of what it means to walk that good road here and now. Jesus has gone up a mountainside and he is preparing to share a lengthy teaching. He begins the teaching with these words: Creator's blessing rests on the poor, the ones with broken spirits. The good road from above is theirs to walk. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk the trail of tears, for Creator will wipe the tears from their eyes and comfort them. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who hunger and thirst for wrongs to be made right. They will eat and drink until they are full. Notice how these promises offered to the suffering, the marginalized, mimic the words of John's vision in heaven. The saints gathered at the throne of God will hunger and thirst no more, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Notice also that these words are not conditional. If you are poor in spirit, if you grieve, if you are merciful and poor, pure in heart, then you will see God. They are not written as a promise or a bargain. They are simply a description of how things are. Indeed, the words themselves are performative. They create what they declare. By speaking these words of blessing, Jesus performs the blessing on the poor, those who grieve, the outcast, the hungry. Jesus makes the new world of God's rule real in this broken world, even as it remains a promise for the future. As the teaching goes on, Jesus will have a lot of instructions for his followers. We call this the Sermon on the Mount, and it's filled with instruction, right? He will teach them about handling anger, about faithful relationships, about living in love even with our enemies, and not judging others. He will talk about giving and fasting and praying. He will speak at some length about what it looks like to walk the Creator's good road. But before all of these instructions about how to live the faith, Jesus offers blessing and promise. Not if you do these things, you'll be blessed, but you are blessed. So now do these things, walk this road. The blessing is the starting place for the life of faith. The promise, not that there will be no suffering, but that we are blessed and beloved even during the suffering and the struggle. The words of Jesus to the poor in spirit, to those who grieve, to those who long for justice and work tirelessly for peace, to those who live humbly and those who are mistreated for the good they do, these words recognize the dual reality of this life that is filled with suffering and challenge, and this life that is filled with blessing and joy. Saint Augustine, one of the great saints and teachers of the church, wrote in a sermon, "Let us sing Alleluia here on earth while we are still anxious and worrying, so that we may one day be able to sing it there in heaven without any worry or care. Oh, what a happy Alleluia there, how carefree, how safe from all opposition, where nobody will be an enemy, where no one will cease to be a friend. God's praises sung there, sung here. Here by the anxious, there by the carefree. Here by those who will die, there by those who will live forever. Here in hope, there in reality. Here on our journey, there in our homeland. So now let us sing, not to delight in our leisure, but to ease our toil. In the way that travelers are in the habit of singing, sing, but keep on walking. Go onward always, go onward in goodness, onward in faith. Sing and walk onwards. Let us sing Alleluia now and always with all the saints of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.